Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is the 10th of August. It's a Wednesday. It's raining. And we're just glad you're with us, as we always are. But it's very nice to have you here today and to be in your company. We welcome our panelists, and I'll introduce them properly in just a moment. Before I do that, I'll remind you that you can join in on the conversation by simply going to your device of choice and typing in roundtable at wamc.org, roundtable at wamc.org, where we will discuss all kinds of things, including stupid things Donald Trump continues to say. All right, let's welcome WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Oh, good morning, Joe.
Oops.
Okay, so everyone gets the logistics here. Before Joe could move my microphone in front of me, I yanked it. I raced him for it, but what I forgot was it was a
coffee cup
in the way.
Yes, but, like a Rube Goldberg, the coffee cup, then it's the.
But it didn't spill. That's right. Lucky.
No, we're all good.
It's the magic WIMC coffee cup.
It is.
Good morning. Very nice to have you here.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Rosemary Hermeo joins us. She's head of the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. And lovely to have her here, as it always is.
I just want to point out that on this day in 1969, the Sharon Tate murder occurred.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it also, on this, I believe it was this date or yesterday, that the Beatles walked across Abbey Road.
Wow. Well, that's a much cheerier memory than mine.
Yes, that's true. But thank you for remembering.
They both seemed like such from such a bygone era.
Yeah. I mean, I was 11 when that happened, and I really couldn't comprehend. I just knew that it was a horrible thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. Libby Post is with us. She's a political consultant and a regular guest in this program, and we thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
All right. Good morning, all. Okay. Let's talk about what's happening in the world. Jeez.
Not too much.
I don't know. I just don't get it. Donald Trump on Tuesday appeared to raise the possibility that gun rights supporters could take matters in their own hands if Hillary Clinton is elected president, and appoints judges who favor stricter gun control measures, repeating his contention that Mrs. Clinton wanted to abolish the right to bear arms. Mr. Trump warned at a rally in Wilmington, North Carolina, that it would be, quote, a horrible day if Mrs. Clinton were elected and got to appoint a tie-breaking Supreme Court justice. Quote, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks, Mr. Trump said as the crowd began to boo. He quickly added, although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know.
He always says, I don't know, so he can disavow whatever it is that he says.
Well, it's just vague enough, right?
Well, the question is, what did he mean? He says, of course, he's walking it back now. He says he just meant they'd vote against her.
But that's not the context of what he's saying.
Well, one can argue it. That's what he's going to say. The problem for him is that it's one on top of another, on top of another, top of another, and that he has put himself into real danger. The point is that even the Secret Service has leaked that they're looking at it. They're aware of it.
I want to be a fly on the RNC wall. That's what I'd like to be.
Well, I just
right
talked.
Now.
They responded within 15 minutes of that statement. The swift response team came out with the walk it away from
right.
The
but
truth.
I would like to hear what went on beforehand.
Yeah. Sorry, Alan, I interrupted. Yes.
No, not at all.
You were on the phone with?
Yeah, I was just on the phone with Ed Cox, the chairman of the Republican Party, who says, by the way, that Trump could very well win, number one. Number two, there is a Marist poll, which we are just looking at it on our devices, says must be sourced, so I'm sourcing it, the Marist poll, which says that in Ohio, Trump and Hillary are competitive. When you look at that, Pennsylvania, she's leading. But here's what it says. Clinton, Trump competitive in Iowa and Ohio. Clinton leads Trump in Pennsylvania, and that's the Marist poll.
But we also are seeing places like
Georgia.
Utah, and Arizona, where it would be notoriously red, that are where the gap is becoming is wider, and places where we were assuming a Republican victory is not assumed anymore, and those numbers are really changing.
Well, look, as the old saying goes, Joe, from your mouth to God's ear, however, I think that if people become too complacent about this, it is a it could be a disaster.
Well, far from complacent, Hillary's spending a freaking fortune. And has collected it on ads, including during the Olympics, which has an enormous viewership. Trump is absent from the Olympics. He's collecting money, or so he's reporting to the FEC. What's he spending it on?
Well, and he says
lawyers.
Right. Okay. So let's
psychiatrist.
Yeah, I want to get to all of this, but let's
concentrate on the assassination call.
Yes. Yeah. Your thoughts?
When I first heard it, I had the same reaction as the man who sat behind him in the audience, whose jaw dropped. He turned to his companion, and they go, "Whoa!" Like that look. You can't see it, but you can hear me say, "Whoa!" You get it. That's how I felt. However, Susan Collins.
Yes.
Okay. A really level head, a Republican. Just disavowed Trump, mm-hmm. So she's not a supporter. And she said, you know, when I heard it, I thought he just meant that the gun voters, the gun rights people, had the clout to pressure the Senate into not picking Hillary's choices. That's what I thought he meant. However, I have to look at this, and once again, it's his looseness with words, mm-hmm. his freaking carelessness, his possible invitation without his even being aware of what he's doing. And that alone makes him ineligible.
Point. And that is exactly right. The point is that words have meanings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when he says something like that, if this is a guy who's going to have his finger on the button, or as they say in upstart New York, the button, and he's got his finger on the button, he's going to have to negotiate with foreign leaders all the time.
That's right.
He better be aware of what he is saying and what the implications are.
Well, I mean, you started off by saying, what did he mean? And that's the problem here, right? It's what he said versus what he means. And it is ambiguous. Although, you know, I was with you when we heard it in the newsroom yesterday. What did he just say? That
yes.
The call for an assassination? And then that was my first reaction to it. But
he notoriously does not think before he talks.
Right.
He's perfectly capable of having an inarticulate garble, and he simply meant, you know, these guys know how to get the Senate to do what we want. He may have meant it.
As someone in this room always quotes, accidentally on purpose.
Exactly. Exactly. I think, Rosemary, you may be underestimating his ability of what he's saying. I think this is a guy who is used to doing double entendres, if that's the way of putting it. In other words, you could take it one way or the
other. Eyes or ears or whatever.
But it
was a moment. That's
but
what
the
I
thing is,
it was.
Is that he's running for president. He's not running for, you know, president of the 10th grade. He's running for president of the United States.
Yeah, but Libby, he's eight points behind.
I know he's 8 points behind, and he's just going to get more behind by doing something like this. But, you know, the thing is that he just, think of him shooting, you know, do we want shoot from the hip foreign policy? I don't think so. Do we want shoot from
even
the hip nuclear negotiations or trade negotiations or anything?
Domestic
relations
with the Senate.
That's right.
With
anything.
God,
So it's just, you know, he can read from a piece of paper, as we saw when he endorsed Ryan and McCain grudgingly.
And then the speech on Monday.
And his speech on Monday. And they touted him as the new and improved disciplined Donald, but he can't help himself.
So, I don't know. I don't know whether I agree with you. I am not a Trumpster, but I can tell you that I have thought that what other people interpret as stupid or misplaced may be a kind of social genius.
So crazy like a fox.
That's right.
Well, I think so. I agree, although there also is the, but I'm doing this without the campaign's knowledge, in the sense that the campaign is going nuts saying this is what you need to say, and then he's showing them up and saying, okay, but this is what I'm going
to
say.
It was cool to watch all of his little pretty spokespeople afterwards scramble to untwist it into something that was acceptable. And in contrast, that weenie Paul Ryan comes out and goes, oh, I was busy today. I didn't hear it.
So,
jeez.
So the point that I would like to go to next is that this is, as we say, this is repetitive. Don't forget, yep. He called for hacking, for Russia to hack Hillary Clinton. You know, these every day it's something else. So, but equally disturbing to me was the fact that the father of the terrorist in Orlando showed up at a Clinton event, and not only showed up at a Clinton event, but was behind the former secretary within the shot, and meaning within the camera shot of the supporters behind her. And there he is, where most people say, hey, I've seen that guy somewhere before. And then they realize where it is. Now, her campaign claims that he wasn't invited. He says that he was. I don't know. But then the other thing is that she hasn't come out and gotten in front of it either. And I just think, well, what is that about? Like, are you not doing something about that?
She has disavowed it. She has been clear about disavowing not him being there, but his politics and the way he thinks about
it. Well, yeah, but she didn't say anything about the campaign as to how he got there.
Well, what's weird is...
Paul Begala on CNN yesterday said the advance people there should be fired.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that this was an advance team thing. I've been to these things, and, you know, it's carefully curated who's behind that to show diversity and all the rest of that stuff. And the advance team might not have known who he really was.
Possible.
But they wanted somebody who fit a particular type to be in the picture.
Yeah. And they do deserve to be fired.
Yeah,
if
so
that's
that they right. So they do deserve to be fired if that's the case. But it was strange. It was just strange, and I'm sure Donald will use this in his.
Well, they already were ad hominem using it last night. Let's talk about what's really important.
Right.
Not a call for assassination, but what this guy in the baseball hat is doing in Hillary's audience.
So it's
well, that happened before, and there was talk about that prior to. But but it is equally. I'm not equal, but it is disturbing. My point originally was that's a one-off. Like, that is one thing that you can say to the campaign, but it's not the 19th thing that's happened this week. That was sort of my point.
This is something else. I'm getting a lot of mail. I'm sitting here reading it. That's why I'm absented from this conversation.
Yeah, we like that.
Because, you know, I know you do.
Because that's and more of a chance.
And, she said that now.
Yeah, it sure does. And I am, people are so angry at Trump. I mean, they're really ticked off. The Trump people are angry, too. So what we are getting here is really vitriolic, dangerous, a spark could go off. Kind of situation. I mean, I just got a letter from a guy who how can Trump continue to threaten our democracy, to threaten Mexicans, Muslims, and now the Democratic nominee without consequences? He doesn't care.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't care. He wants to be president, and he will do what he has to get there.
I'm not so sure he wants to be president.
Yeah, I know you're crowd who believe
my
that.
Crowd?
Yeah, your crowd of people who believe that he's not going to be president. He doesn't want to be president.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You agree that he doesn't want to be president?
We had David K. Johnson on yesterday, and he was saying the same thing, that he likes the idea of winning.
Right.
But doesn't want the office.
He wants to be president. No, don't kid yourself.
I think he wants the office. He wants the plane. He wants the
new
house.
No, his plane's better. He already said that.
Okay. So he wants the trappings. He doesn't want the responsibility.
Oh, come on. He wants to be president. He is campaigning to be president. And you guys are making it up as you go along.
What are we making up? He turned around to John Kasich. Eric Trump called up John Kasich and said, "Do you want to be the most powerful vice president in history? We want you to be in charge of domestic and foreign policy."
Yeah.
And John Kasich said, "Then what would the president do?" And he would say, and Eric Trump said, "Quote, make America great again."
Yeah, I mean, he said the same thing about Pence. That Pence is going to be in charge of domestic and foreign.
Wrong.
Okay.
You're just wrong. He wants to be president of the United States on whatever level he wants to be. He's not investing himself this way. He's a narcissistic egomaniac, and we all know it. And the fact is, he's not giving up, and you're just placating yourself.
Well, I agree that he's not going to give up. Rosemary, are you going to jump in on this?
I don't know where I stand. I can see both sides on this. I think that he has not thought it through, that he is so into the competition.
I agree that he's
so busy combating any attack on him that he's not thinking, oh man, I'm going to end up with this job
he
I want.
To...
But look at the debates. He's definitely causing himself another problem with the debates. He does not want to debate, nor should he want to debate Hillary Clinton for the first time in what the history history of debates, we've got the front runner saying, no, no, bring it on. I want more debates, because she knows. So I think that he's contemplating losing, Alan, and he may be looking for a way out.
Well, he may be contemplating losing because everybody would have to explore the fact that when you're 10 points behind or 7 points behind, you might lose. But I just think the three of you, and I don't like to get this way, are hopelessly naive.
Thank you so much.
Well, in the meantime, what's happening? Look at what's happening in Turkey. And I know this is one of our stories today. Putin is in there making friends with our biggest ally in the Middle East. Putin is in Syria. And he's doing the same, I believe, with Donald Trump. He's winning over the world. I have to say this. Mitt Romney was right about Russia still being a threat. And we have ignored it. And we're going to pay for it.
You could be right. But I am fascinated about the whole Turkish thing. I know we're going to get to it. But as a leading sort of indicator is that the Turks are saying, okay, this guy, whatever his name is, in Pennsylvania, who's...
Right, the guy who supposedly was ahead of the coup.
Yeah. Is in fact... the reason that the coup happened. He was the leader of the coup.
He was the ringleader.
And everybody says, no, 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 that's ridiculous. He was here. He was embedded. He was, you know, he's silent. Is there a possibility that the Turks are right?
I don't think so. I just don't see it. Have you seen him on television?
No.
He is a studious, thoughtful man. Used to be a colleague with the president of Turkey.
Studious, thoughtful man.
I don't think he organized.
We're gonna hold there because we're gonna come back and we'll talk about this. We'll finish up. We'll get letters and we'll do all this. We have break.
Trotsky and Stalin were once colleagues.
And then we're gonna get back to the because. I thought the Thomas Friedman piece today were the first line.
Amazing.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin got assassinated.
Exactly.
In reference to
absolutely
the comments that the Second Amendment.
It just takes a wild man to listen to the words.
Right, and what they mean.
Well, he's defining a new domestic terrorism.
I shut up, but everybody else is talking.
Sorry.
Right. Yeah, you never do that.
We'll take a break. We'll be back, and we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back after the BBC. Good morning. Welcome back to the round table.
What about them Olympics?
Good morning.
They were great.
Welcome back to the round table.
We love
them. Our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan.
Excuse me.
Libby Post.
Rich Honan.
All right. Sorry, I had the wrong script there.
It happens to us.
That's
all.
For tomorrow. Anyway, good morning and welcome. It's very nice to have you with us. Libby is here, Rosemary is here, and Alan is here, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. Rich will be here tomorrow, just for the record. So, okay, let's go back to where we were, and that was arguing over a lot of stuff. So let's go to the letters.
Okay, so Robert says, Alan, sure Trump wants to be president, but what you don't see is a certain aspect of human behavior. When a person is in the spotlight, starts feeling like they're in over their head, they start acting strangely. There can be a subconscious character that pops its head out once in a while who tries to sabotage the project so that it doesn't happen. Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe there's a Superman just flew through the room, but he didn't. Okay, that's my answer.
I think it was a good letter.
Yeah. Well, of course you did. Anne says, Gary Johnson has 8% and Jill Stein has 4%. I'd like to see them debate. Here's what my grandson Nathan says. Over the years, the rules have become increasingly more difficult to third parties to gain ballot access and to get into the debates. That's what the two major parties want. It should be 5% to get into the debates, just like in the primaries. Mike says, Libby hit the nail on the head twice. Read Trump. A while ago, she said he wanted to be king. As a king or dictator, he doesn't have to take responsibility and can demand whatever he wants. Libby's second point made on Monday is that Trump's appeal, somebody's following you, Libby, is to those who want to rid this country of people of color. You said it and I said it.
We're both brilliant.
That this is all about this. Okay. James says, thank you, Alan. Hopelessly naive is right on. We expect analysis with opinion, not thoughtless smearing. Get a new panel with economic savvy to handle big picture stuff. Contributions to the station may suffer otherwise.
Oh, my God.
You think that might be an implied threat? That's James.
Oh, well.
James.
Shame, James.
Bye-bye now.
Or as the old Freudian statement goes, the fear is the wish. All right, and now we go to Karen. I don't know this country anymore. Trump is a dangerous, despicable man who has somehow managed to be a candidate for president of the United States. He goes right up to the line with these statements, but there is no mistaking what he meant. It's unbelievable, except it's actually happening. He dehumanizes his opponents, which is the first step in inviting his followers to ultimately eliminate them in any way possible. If they can't do it by their votes, then he's telling them to find another way. And then Mike says, an embarrassing email story about the Clinton Foundation that was sent to some 3 months after Hillary took office as Secretary of State. As has been the pattern in the past, Donald Trump couldn't keep his mouth shut and spark controversy that put him back in the limelight, again, in a negative sense. Susan Collins seems right. He won't change. Look, folks, change. Character said it for. Freud said so. And it doesn't change. I believe that. Hillary, to her credit, kept her head down and has learned when your opponent is shooting himself in the foot, stay out of range. Trump hasn't learned that. But Hillary the other day was back out there defending the emails, which she have a head down about.
Right.
Okay. And Eileen, just saying, could it be possible the father of the Orlando shooter was planted at the Clinton event by the Trump campaign?
Okay, that's too much conspiracy.
Yeah, it seems a little too
difficult. They can't even control their old candidate.
I mean, if we get to the WikiLeaks story, it's like conspiracy theory governing America is a little much.
All right. Does it matter, says Gloria? Does it matter if Trump is making provocative statements intentionally or because he's too clueless to understand the possible consequences or because it's a technique that he's used in the past to negotiate? End result is the same. And that's from Gloria.
That's true.
Well, yes, it is true, but not exactly true. In other words, we should, when we're evaluating Rosemary, don't you agree? Probably not. We should at least make those differentials so that we understand what somebody might be if they became president of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And what their
motivation might be. We have to understand, but her point is that it all adds up to the same thing for voters, and I think that is true.
Donald Trump, says Gilbert, is actually a Democrat posing as a Republican. It's a Democratic conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think it's funny.
And I have a bridge I'd like to sell you.
Does Tom in Red Hook says, does Trump want the job? I don't think the answer is whether Trump wants to be president is yes or no. At the very least, it would seem he must be deeply ambivalent about putting his wealth in a blind trust and giving up wheeling and dealing real estate for 8 years. And that ambivalence may play to his role in self-sabotage. Hi, all, says Michael. Second Amendment, Fayetteville, North Carolina. I don't think Trump's Second Amendment remarks were off the cuff. I think it had to do with perhaps the largest Second Amendment crowd in the country. Fort Bragg, North Carolina, members of the 82nd Airborne, Delta Force, Green Berets, 18th Airborne Corps, et cetera, et al. What I can't figure out is the logic by Trump's statements. Was he trying to incite the crowd? Thoughts?
I don't know that there was logic there. I mean, it did seem off the cuff. Right?
Yeah, it's he inserted, and then in his next campaign appearance, of course, he did not use that line at all.
We heard from Carol in Cherry Valley, Putin and Europe roundtable. Wonderful to hear you discuss international issues. Consider that by not signing the TTIP, it says TTIP, TTIP. Trade deal with the EU, the U.S. may be pushing Europe closer to Russia. Mary
says, the Chinese came out with a statement against Trump. I love that, saying he's pulling out the same old, you know, China bashing comments that have no basis in truth. And we're disappointed, and the American voters deserve better.
Yes, says Mary, it's repetitive. Your attempt to make sense of Trump and what he says are repetitive. Public relations people tell their clients. It's not what you say, it's what they hear. How about the panel discusses on almost half the country here is hype and why? Mary, P.S. Roundtable discussions are more interesting and informative when the panel includes an intelligent, albeit misguided, representative of the right. And well, Rich will be here tomorrow. Okay. And Corey says, Trump. I actually agree with Alan. Why is it that when they agree with me, They just can't get the words out of the mouth saying Alan is right.
Oh, you mean instead of saying I actually agree
with it.
Which means they're surprised.
What is it about
me?
What is it about me? 90%, watch it, Libby, 90% of commentators underestimated Trump during the primaries, and here you are again underestimating him. I am not a Trump supporter, but I firmly believe he's going to win this election, and he wants to win this election. Who cares what the polls say? We all know from past experience, a lot can change between now and November. I am not a Clinton supporter either, for what it's worth, and that's from Corey, but he spelled polls, P-O-L-E-S. So I'm not sure whether there was a significant, thing there.
I don't think anybody is saying he's going to walk away with this or that we're being complacent. I've been very clear that we cannot be complacent. We have to double our efforts.
The first thing I said
today. That's right. We have to redouble our efforts to make sure that he doesn't get elected president. We cannot take this for granted.
That's from Corey. Cindy says, hi, Alan. No matter the intention of Trump's comment, the fact is he's whipping up most fanatical followers after he alluded to assassinating his political opponent, while supremacist groups lit up the internet with their own disgustingly hateful comments, many of which I cannot repeat, Cindy of Albany.
I want to inject, it's more for the last letter, not the one you just read, Alan, that Garrison Keillor has begun doing political commentary. He has a column in the Washington Post, and he says that what will defeat the snapper, that's his little nickname for Trump, in the end will be plain wrongness. When a surgeon comes in to say hello before he opens up your skull, if he's wearing a baseball cap backward and listening to Metallica, you climb off the table. Snapper is not a president of the United States. He isn't even of mayoral quality, unless maybe in Toronto.
That's a good line.
One more here, Joe. Our friends Kay and Charles said, and this is very important, after he said that, because nobody's quoting this, and I had a telephone call from a guy this morning who wanted to make the point. He ends the statement with, it will be a horrible, horrible day. That's what he said after he talked about the Second Amendment folks and what they could do. It will be a horrible, horrible day. I don't think a surge of political activity would be described that way, and that's from Kay. That's interesting. And we don't always agree with Kay and Charles. By the way, we get a fair amount of mail, but that one made sense. Clay says, Erdogan uses the coup attempt to purge anyone he thinks is against him. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Has anyone asked why there was a coup attempt? Thanks.
Let's take a break there. We'll hold and we'll come back. We'll talk about other issues and other topics. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Hummingbird Jewelers, Rhinebeck. Custom design specialists since 1978, featuring gemologists and appraisers on premises repair, restoration, and repurposing on family heirlooms. HummingbirdJewelers.com. Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, offering natural and organic beds, mattresses, futons, and pillows made in the USA with cotton, wool, and natural latex. Green-Conscience.com. And Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany. Japanese, Chinese, and sushi bar. Dinner entrees served with soup, salad, and shrimp appetizer. Delivery expanding to Gilderland. 518-432-0358.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We love your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
We do.
Of course we do. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay, so let's go to a couple of other topics. We'll try to get to as many as we can here. Hillary Clinton yesterday spoke out against our efforts when it comes to the Zika virus and urges the GOP congressional leaders to take emergency action on Zika. And she made these comments yesterday, challenging Republican leaders to take emergency action to combat the spread of the Zika virus in the United States, and accused Republican opponent Donald Trump of dismissing a growing public health crisis.
Well, it's a brilliant strategy, because even if they do something in an attempt to get some credit for the Republicans in the House and Senate, she then has the upper hand saying, see, I made them do it, whereas they don't want to do it, and that's clear.
Well, why don't they want to do it? I don't get that.
They are always, well, first of all, they don't want to do anything which they consider to be supportive of Obama.
Oh, my God. And Fighting Zika supports Obama? How
that's
so?
Right. Yes. In other words, there is nothing that Obama advances that they want.
It's a public health crisis.
Yes, I understand
they
that.
Don't care. They do not care. People can die. Babies can be born with encephaly. They don't care as long as they don't do anything that he thinks is the right thing to do.
I hope you're both wrong, because that's incredibly wrong and shallow, and elected leader should
They're trying to tie funding for Zika to banning funding for Planned Parenthood.
Oh, my God.
Okay? I mean, it's like everything comes back to Planned Parenthood. Everything comes back to Obama. Everything, you know, it's just, I'm done.
Wow. And there's no counter to this.
What do you mean?
Is there any reason that Republicans would be fighting this? I want to hear what Rich has to say about this.
Well, no. One of the things that will happen here is that people will get angry or not. If people are angry enough, and if there's enough public pressure, they'll do what they have to do. But grudgingly, but they'll do it.
But it's stupid in an election year when Florida is a swing state to do this.
I know.
Because it's disproportionately impacting women of color. And Latinos.
That.
I know, but it's it's affecting a population that is going to come out in droves for Clinton. So why just give them more fuel?
The Republican National Committee accused Clinton of playing politics with the health crisis. If Hillary Clinton really was concerned about Zika, she'd be telling her running mate Tim Kaine to stop blocking funding in the Senate instead of holding a photo op, according to RNC spokesman Michael Short. That was a reference to Democrats' rejection of Republican funding proposals they said came attached with politically motivated strings, including funding for Planned Parenthood.
I mean, once again, this is an issue that Rich should be here to discuss, because we've talked about it in relation to gun control. The Republicans won't give the Democrats what they're asking for in these matters, but they do give something, and then the Democrats reject it, saying we want what we want and nothing else. Everything else falls short. And when you're talking about public health crises like gun violence, like Zika, you have to take whatever you can get and then just, you know, shame them into giving more in piecemeal. I think this is a bad strategy, and the Democrats are to blame for it, too.
This month, Senator Marco Rubio joined Democrats in calling for Congress to return to vote on the Zika bill. Senator Charles Schumer said in an interview with Politico on Tuesday that the congressional delay may hurt Rubio in his contested re-election
bid. Well, of course
bid.
It would, and it should.
Mm-hmm. All right. That is one story.
Well, can I just raise one other that M.F. Wilson writes us, Joe? Says, good morning, panel. Would you please comment on the governor's recent decision to allow the New York Public Service Commission to increase subsidies to the nuclear power industry from $270 million to over $8 billion to keep our old crumbling nuclear power plants running, and calling it renewable energy? Well, there's no question. I was listening to him on this very station yesterday and listening to his comments. All of a sudden, you know, he's trying to tie nuclear energy to the call for clean energy. And of course, if one of those things goes, it's going to be hardly nuclear. It's going to hardly be clean.
That's a shame. I need to do more research on that. But it is a shame, because nuclear could be clean if only they would solve the small problem of radioactive waste, which over all the years we've been using nuclear power remains. The best thing we can do is bury it in a mountain in Utah.
I don't know. That's all true, Rosemary. But tell it to the people in Chernobyl. Tell it to the people at Three Mile Island. Tell it to, you know, all these people.
Those are two accidents out of all. You could also mention Japan. There's
I would mention Japan, because it is very relevant, because they haven't been able to fix it. So that's right.
Calling nuclear energy clean energy is like going back to the 70s when it first came about. You know, this is going to revolutionize our energy consumption without letting everybody know what the real dangers are.
Well, I think we know what the dangers are now. We don't know how to fix the dangers yet. And the problem that Cuomo is dealing with is that there are aging plants. And you cannot not fund that, because then you will have another Three Mile Island right here. So if he has to do that, if he has to play politics and call it renewable to get the money for it, I sort of am in favor of that.
Steve writes a letter saying, hopefully, the roundtable can shift for a moment from being a daily Trump outrage show to deal for a moment with Mrs. Clinton's latest email issue, the cross-contamination between the Clinton State Department and the Clinton Foundation, is our only choice this year between crazy and crook. Looking hard at the Johnson-Weld ticket. And that's from Steve.
I want to talk about Trump again.
All right. Can I get to the other?
Of course.
Yes.
Okay. So we do. Let's go to the Putin and Erdogan story because I want to.
Yeah,
we want to go back
one.
To that. They vow to repair ties as the West watches nervously. Rosemary was talking about this a moment ago against the backdrop of rising tensions between Turkey and the West. Presidents Vladimir Putin of Russia and President Erdogan of Turkey pledged on Tuesday to repair relations after 9 months of open antagonism. Although their meeting in St. Petersburg on Tuesday produced little beyond vows of friendship and cooperation, the symbolism of the two former antagonists coming together for a friendly talk was enough to raise alarms in Western capitals. I want to go back to what you were saying earlier, Rosemary, how we haven't been watching this.
Putin is playing a global, massive game, and he's doing very well at it. He had his Olympics that went off well. Now we know how he did it with doping. He got the Turkish president to apologize for him. He has taken over, I think, in Syria, and he is doing it under the guise of, I'm helping the United States and the West fight ISIS, when in fact what he's doing is securing that country for the evil president. We seem unable to do anything about that. And now Turkey... I think he is working Trump. If he had a U.S. president who was sympathetic to him, wow, wouldn't that advance his goals? He's undermining NATO. Crimea is that's over.
Forgotten.
He's got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is Eastern Ukraine. We've forgotten that too. We've moved on. He's won.
Well, let me ask you a question, which you bring up, and it's a subset of what you mm-hmm. just said, and that is, does Putin look at what we do and say there is an opportunity to make trouble?
Yep.
So, for example, did we have any business calling for the ouster of the man you call the evil, president?
Assad.
Is that our job? Because when we went in, we certainly didn't know what the heck we were doing. We were supporting groups which we knew, because we had had the experience in Afghanistan and other places, were going to turn around and bite us in the hiney. Do we think things
through?
Well,
it's plainly in our national self-interest for Assad to be out, because he is backed by and is a Russian man. So why would we want him in Syria, aside from the fact that he's killing and murdering people and has set off a worldwide global refugee crisis? Just for our own personal, geopolitical interests, we should not be for that. I mean, Putin, I think also there's an argument, many of our listeners have this view, that we did provoke in Ukraine. I think it was because... Again, I do think this is Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration treated Russia as just a side problem. They wanted to concentrate on China and the Pacific, and they ignored him. And they did talk to Ukraine about NATO, and that made him feel endangered. Did we have something to do with the riots, with the protests that threw out the president of Ukraine? I can't say no. So we have played the game badly. We have not handled it well.
I agree.
And
with
so
that.
This new thing with Turkey and Russia and kissing and making up and being friends again, that is not good news for us.
Putin plays chess, and he knows every move 10 moves ahead.
He's a smart and ruthless man. Mm-hmm.
Final story, and we only have 2 minutes left in this, but that is the... WikiLeaks offering a reward to find the
wow, what a story!
To find the
killer
of a DNC staffer, a 27-year-old man, and Seth Rich. And so the question is, what does this mean? And it's a conspiracy theory that has been brought into the mainstream, as Libby mentioned earlier.
Well, it set off the rumors that Seth Rich was the source of the emails, the DNC emails that were leaked by WikiLeaks.
And but WikiLeaks is saying, well, we're not saying that that's the case, and we're not saying that this is a really conspiracy, but we're just going to up the reward for any information without even saying any. I mean, you know, he is no longer Julian Assange. I can no longer consider him a credible source of information.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's making... by doing this, he just undermines his own credibility.
Well, he does have credible information. That's the problem.
Exactly. He
leaks amazing information that everybody wants to see.
I know, but
he is a bad person.
Right. It's his own credibility. He's another individual.
Trump, I think.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. He's saying, we're not saying he was our source. We're not saying he was not our source. We protect our sources. Pretty smart if you're working on leakers. But he says, even attack on a suspected leaker to WikiLeaks is a matter we have to be concerned with. Oh, my gosh. That's so
right.
twisted.
It is.
Well, on those words, it's so twisted. We leave you this morning on the panel discussion. We'll be back tomorrow for another round. Meanwhile, we'll continue on the roundtable. Alan, Rosemary, Libby, thank you very much for being part this morning.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.